Give me a wave if you came on Thursday evening to C3WA. Wasn't that a good night? So good. And we couldn't have done it with such a great team of volunteers. So for everyone that helped out, give yourselves a pat on the back. Superb job. And great to have it in our facility. That was nice, wasn't it? So this morning, we're going to have Youth Connect for the first time in a long time. So all those that are going with Amber and Katie for Youth Connect this morning, you'll miss out on a great message, but you'll have more fun with the girls. So if you're high school age, please go with the girls. This is now running fortnightly. There's about 12 kids gone out. How good is that? So we want to keep our youth in church, right? And so they're having something on their level with the girls this morning, and we're going to just do that every fortnight. And so that's encouraging. And if you see either Amber or Katie, say thank you for looking after our young people. It's good, right? Very good. All right. So I want to talk this morning about, oh, look at that. Did you put that up, Claire? That must be you. Strength. I've been looking actually at a number of passages that have been talking about miracles. We've been talking about this whole area of the supernatural power of God. Who feels like they have more faith to believe God? Number one. Come on, we've got to have more. You can believe that God is your God, and that, okay, you might be struggling right now, but God is going to get you through. Yeah. There may be situations that you're facing that you do not know how you're going to, how it's going to turn out. Stop stressing, give it to God. We have a God that's bigger than us. And the moment we take it on ourselves, there becomes an issue, because we only see it from a very small, we're a speck in God's sight. And so we need to see, and I'm just starting to, just trying to build your faith this morning, that we have such an incredible big God. Can anyone believe with me this morning that God's bigger than you? And he's bigger than the whole lot of us together. And he's huge. And so we can trust him with our life. And so we've been looking at, I have been looking personally at Isaiah 35. And I know Barry's been talking about miracles too. We looked at signs and wonders. Wasn't that an amazing story of how Graham Virk got healed from his back a few weeks back? Completely healed. Testimony to the goodness of God as we trust him. Last time I spoke, we talked about springs in the desert. A fact, Israel, because that's where this Isaiah 35 came from, the people of Israel, in 1930s, they predicted, the economists and everyone else, that Israel would not be able to grow past 2 million people because they did not have their water was actually decreasing, not increasing. And today there is 12 million people in Israel, and it's mainly because, well, not mainly, because the Word of God is true. And the Word of God says to us today, as it did back then, that if there's going to be springs in the desert that'll produce water, then they will. And what happened was that Israel is now producing not only enough water for itself through these natural springs that do not stop, even in dry areas, that they're also exporting to other neighbouring countries, including watermelons and other produce that are water-based. It's quite remarkable how good God is when you think about it. Who can believe the Word of God this morning? And so today I want to talk about strength and bring a bit of practical stuff with that as well. So let's read in Isaiah 35. We can read from verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord. Excellency of our God, strengthen the weak hands. Say it with me, strengthen the. And make firm the. Say to those who are fearful hearted. Can we say that again? Be strong and. Be strong and. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. I love scriptures like this. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Is anyone looking forward to that? Though the situation might not have sorted itself out yet in your life, there is a God that's going to actually destroy the power of darkness that is coming against you. That is going to change that situation around that is in the natural, because he is your God. And as you hold on to him, there are going to be springs in the desert. You are going to be able to lift your hands and say, I thank you, I've got you in my life. And so, let's preach this message. This is a messianic chapter of the Bible. The purpose of these chapters in Isaiah is to show that Jesus is the Messiah. And it is through Jesus, the Son of God, the one true Messiah, who will bring freedom to all humanity. And Isaiah is prophesying from the point of view that this is what will happen when the Messiah comes. And the Messiah has come. And so passages like this have great significance for our lives. Spiritual freedom is only possible through Jesus. Only possible through strength to get through certain situations in our lives is only possible through Jesus. And Jesus, the one and only Messiah, the deliverer of Jewish people, and you and I alike, we have been grafted into his family through what Jesus has done on the cross for you and I. And we can live above the mess in our world. We have to choose to live above the mess in our world. We can live above the anxiety. We can live above the pressures we face in our world. And today I would like to show you how strong we can be through Christ in us. Is anyone looking forward to being stronger by the end of today? The next 30 minutes or so. You see, there's a strength zone when exercising. Wesley, do you know anything about exercising? No, you don't. Maybe you should come to the gym with me. Who thinks that'd be a good idea? I'm just playing around. But seriously, I go to the gym a few times a week. I'm not as fit as my son, but then he's got age on his side. But here's the thing. I normally get to the gym and I'm half asleep. And then I start to do some cardio or perhaps even just lift some weights. And before I know it, wow. I'm in the strength zone. It lasts about 10 minutes and then I'm talking. No. But there's a moment. There's this moment. Who'd like to live in the strength zone all the time? Not just for a fleeting moment. Well, can I help you this morning through the Word of God? See, in my, and let me put it in a way that will help you, because who knows that we get beaten around a bit. In life, in my 23, it's almost 24 years as a pastor, I have a number of stories I could share about people, which I won't. People who are with us but are not anymore. Close friends who are not anymore. People who said they were with us for life but are not anymore. I have stories about what was promised by people and yet never delivered by those same people. I have stories of money that was coming that never showed up. Not for me, for the church. I have stories of people loving Andrew and I one day and actually hating us the next. This job is not for the faint-hearted. Why am I still your pastor? Well, number one, let me just tell you, I love you guys. You're awesome. It's so good being, as Dave said, a shepherd of God's people. That's what God called me to do. However, without tapping into the strength the Messiah brings, I wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't either. And so Isaiah is prophesying. He is saying to you and I today that Jesus makes a way in the wilderness. In those tough situations in your life, in difficult times, in awkward times, if you are going through a dry time, if you are going through a wilderness time in your life, Jesus will make a way through for you. Can we believe that today? Jesus will make a way through. You might be having a great time right now, but who knows that life has seasons, and there's probably going to be a dry season coming at some point in your life. You might even go through a wilderness experience, but as long as you hold on to God, you're going to come out the other side and you will be stronger. And you and I are living in a broken world. We're living with broken people, with people behaving badly. And in many respects, we're living in a wilderness. However, you and I do not have to live in a wilderness. We can live in a garden. Stay with me. We can live in a garden. Our life as human beings started in a garden with Adam and Eve, and it was God's garden, and it was amazing. The first time Adam saw Eve naked, he was just like, woman. Some of you laugh, some of you not sure what we should do in church, whether that's all right or not. Just, but you know, woman. Okay, hey, never mind. That didn't work. God came to Adam and Eve in the garden and walked and talked with him, with them. They had a perfect relationship. It was like, wow. It's nothing that we can quite understand, really, but we can. Look, listen to me. We're going to get there. In the New Testament, Jesus came to Mary Magdalene in the garden and talked with her, and it was the first thing Jesus did after the resurrection. John 20. Isaiah 35:1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. This is not just past tense. It is referring to you and I. We are glad, we are rejoicing, we are blossoming because the Messiah has come. Is anyone glad about that? Can we rejoice a little bit this morning? We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you that you are our God. We thank you that your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it has power for our life this morning. You see, Isaiah 35:2, it shall blossom abundantly. Anyone like to blossom abundantly? And rejoice, even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Now, Lebanon was a fruitful place in the north of Canaan. Okay, we're talking about the promised land. It is a garden in the middle of a wilderness. You can look it up for yourself. You don't even have to take my word for it this morning. Anyway, I've found some pictures which I'm going to show you in a second. In the middle of the desert, there is fertile ground. Here are a couple of modern day photos I'd like to show you of the gardens in Lebanon. The first one, this is today, vertical gardens in a cafe in Lebanon. You haven't got the pictures. Yes, you have. Claire, go and sort it out for me. Vertical gardens in a cafe, they're amazing. We'll come back to the gardens. We'll come back to the gardens? All right. So I had some really amazing pictures to show you. You see, here's the thing. We may be living in a fallen world. However, we can live in a garden as his people who believe in him. Now, you see, what we have is, if you'd seen these photos, there's this amazing lush green pictures of just how remarkable it is that there's this fertile ground and all these gardens in the middle of a wilderness. Now, Lebanon represents fertile trees and fertile soil. The cedars of Lebanon, that it talks about in this passage of Scripture, are renowned. England, that's the country, has named one of their gardens the Gardens of Lebanon. It says here in Psalm 104, verse 16, the trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted. God planted the land of Lebanon for his people. And in the same way, God has planted a rich and fruitful garden for you to live in. In Isaiah 35, 2, the excellence of Carmel actually means a garden land. It's like God's vineyard. Would anyone like to live in God's vineyard with me today? We're like living in a lush, beautiful place that overflows with goodness into our lives. That even though that we may have people that say the wrong things to us, that even though we may have annoying situations, even though we can walk out our door and people don't behave the same as we would like them, we thank you, Lord, that we can live above that because we're going to be a well-watered garden. And we determine to be those kind of people. And so King Uzziah, the Bible says, in 2 Chronicles, had many farmers and vine dressers in the mountains in Carmel because he loved the soil. He really loved the soil. And Sharon refers to the beauty of the bride of Christ. And so in the Song of Solomon, actually, in verse 1, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. So there's beauty, there's delicacy and lowliness as found in Jesus. In Matthew 11, 29, it says, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Lord, I thank you today that I can find rest. Why don't you say that to yourself right now? I thank you, Lord, that I can find rest in you. Now, I've said all this to paint a picture, and if we get the pictures, I'll show them too, of how amazing the Word of God is. When we do some simple research, we find out the full extent of the words written and what this means for you and I. Strength. Isaiah 35, 3 and 4. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. He has come, and he has come with strength. He has taken care of things. He is taking care of things, and he will be taking care of things. He has, he will, and he's going to take care of things. That's our God. And so three things in verse 3 that will help us be strong throughout our life. There are the hands. Everyone give me a wave. Our hands, what you do. Our knees, where you walk. And our heart, how you think. As a man thinks in his heart. Number one, hands. If you desire to strengthen who you are and what you do, you're going to have to become a worshiper. You're going to have to become what? A worshiper. Nehemiah 8:6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. When my family first started going to church, I was about 12 years old. And we went to a fairly conservative church. I'm not sure why Mum and Dad decided we were going to church, in fact, the first time we went, but we didn't go to church before then. So when I was about 12, we went to a fairly conservative church north of the river. And there was a bit of a move of God happening. you could say. And I was 12, and my mum and dad, in a church that was relatively conservative, well, very actually conservative, would raise their hands in church. And everyone would look at them. And I would be going red and embarrassed. Put your hands down, mum and dad. You know? I'm so glad they did it now. I'm so grateful. You see, raising hands in the church I was attending was not what you did. And today, I cannot worship God properly unless I raise my hands. Now, why is that so? Because when I raise my hands, when I worship God, I've got to put both hands up. What happens? Immediately, you feel the strength of God on your life. Why don't you try it right now? Just put your hands up. Lord, I thank you for your power on my life right now. I thank you for strength right now. Thank you, Lord. See, who's feeling better? You feel the strength of God on you. Some of you just want to stay there. You can do that if you want to. What you put in, you will get out. I need his strength on my life. I can't do it on my own. Are you like me? Now, I've heard a lot of excuses because I've been pastoring for a while now. So I thought I'd give you some. And then maybe if we've got the pictures, we can go back to yeah, we're good? Okay, in a minute. Thanks, Conrad. We'll go back. All right, so some people have said to me, I'll lift my hands when I get to heaven. All right, okay, let's stop. Let's stop for a second. Here we are. Look, he's got excited. He's found him. Let's give Conrad a hand. Thank you, Claire. This is a garden, a cafe in Lebanon. How remarkable. Who'd like to have that kind of garden? That, amazing. Next one. Look at that. Now, I can tell you what it is. Hang on a minute. I think it's Beirut, this one. It's Beirut. It's a garden in Beirut. And then we have one more, don't we? The Gardens of Damascus, the oldest city in the world, revitalized like it would have been in Bible times. So they have the tourists because obviously it's a tourist area. And so they've revitalized it to look like it would have been in Bible times. Old Damascus ruins. How incredible. Isn't that amazing? Incredible God. And so outside, well, you can just see even by the stone, it's really barren land. But even if you're living in a wilderness and you feel like everything's against you, you can know that God is going to water you well. Can we believe today, church? All right, where was I? I was into hands, wasn't I? All right, so I will lift, that's right. Excuses for not lifting up my hand. I'll lift up my hands when I get to heaven. It's just not my personality. Psalm 63, verse 4. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Don't wait until you get to heaven. The Bible says to lift up your hands and bless God whilst you live here on earth. Excuse number two, but Pastor, I lift my heart up. I'm happy on the inside. I've heard people say that too. Lamentations 3:41. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Excuse number three, because next time we come into worship, what are we going to be doing, church? Come on. Excuse number three, the Bible does not tell us specifically to lift our hands in church. Psalm 134, verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's the next one, the next Psalm 134 you should have. Next scripture, you've missed it. Anyway, number four. All right, I've made up this one, but they're all Old Testament scriptures, Pastor. 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. All right, we're stuck now, are we? Never mind. You've got it. Learn to worship and express your worship by lifting your hands. Come on. Two knees. You strengthen yourself when you... And you strengthen yourself. Knees often refer to prayer in the Bible. And Solomon had finished praying. He arose from the altar, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread out up to heaven, the Bible says. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In other words, never stop praying. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, present your request to the... All right, so... You and I get over our anxiety through prayer. You and I get through our what? Anxiety through prayer. I've had many sleepless nights over the years. And the times I get up, I'm figuring I'm a bit like you. That, you know, things sometimes, they just worry us, right? I know it says in the Bible that we shouldn't worry about anything, but don't put your hand up, but I'm sure you worry just like me at times. I ask the Lord that one when we get to heaven. Anyhow, so the moment I get up and I actually give it to the Lord, I feel better again. But if I don't, I can stew on things all night. And so I think there are some principles here that, let me just give you another one that really makes a lot of sense to me. I found... Proverbs 16:3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Now, I have a picture. I should have a picture of some camels. Oh, fantastic. I'm so happy right now. There. The second camel is overloaded, right? I mean, the poor guy, look, he's down a bit. And he must have wondered what he's done wrong. Because, well, he's suffering. Now, this is quite common in camel trains, that they load up one camel more than the other. And I don't know why, but that's what I read when I was doing this. Now, these are in Arabia. This one's actually in Australia, this picture. But Arabia and North Africa, it's quite common to have these. And the Australian outback, as we know, this is camels in Broken Hill. So now this is the important part, and we're feeling for number two camel right now, right? Okay. But sometimes you feel overloaded too, don't you? You feel more overloaded than the person next to you, and you think that you have so many more issues going on than the person next to you. Come on, let's be truthful here. Sometimes things overwhelm us. Sometimes we do carry a lot of burden on our lives, and there's certain pressure points in our life. And the way that camels would get rid of their heavy burdens was to get down. You've seen camels, right? They get down what? On their front knees, and they roll the burden off. They what? They roll the burden off. So when we pray, you can roll the burden off. I lay it at your feet, Lord. I roll my burden off. And here's the thing. We're described as sheep in the Bible. Sheep were not designed to carry burdens. Jared, can you just go out the back and load up the sheep? They're going to be dead. We weren't designed to, we're meant to lift, give our burdens over to the Lord. Number three, maybe while we're just thinking about that, let's be a cedar of Lebanon. How do we become a cedar and grow strong and actually keep fruiting and get this massive tree that the storms cannot come against? Well, we lift up holy hands. we worship our God, and secondly, we roll our burden off to you, Lord. Third, hearts. Say to those who are fearful hearted, thanks music team, be strong, do not fear. That's Isaiah 35 verse 4. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Can we say it together? Be strong, do not fear. Now Moses spoke to Joshua 7 times to be strong and not to fear. Deuteronomy 31 6, be strong and of good courage. Deuteronomy 31, 23, be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1, 6, 7, 9, and 17, be strong and of good courage. The more responsibility you and I are given in God, the more courage that is needed. And this may apply to you in business as well as it may apply in church. It may apply to your work situation right now that maybe is not going so well for you. Be strong and get your courage from the Lord and see that situation turn around. Do not fear. You are going to succeed. So how do you become strong? Get the word of God into your heart. Get the word of into worship, prayer, hands, knees, and heart. How do we keep a clean heart? Get the word of God into us. Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I've hidden in my heart. Psalm 4, verse 4. Meditate with all your heart on in your bed and be still. Let's just combine all three. Let's be worshippers. Let's be prayers. Let's get the word of God into our heart. Let's be a well-watered garden. Can we stand to our feet, church, this morning? You know, the word meditate on the word of God, is to think on. Something troubling you, meditate on the word of God. Speak the word of God over your life and over your church. So we're going to spend a moment here. And whatever's troubling you right now, let's lift up our hands. Let's pray out in the name of Jesus and let's proclaim that God is going to change that situation, that the way I'm feeling does not determine who I am. I'm bigger than that. And I thank you, Lord, for your power and your life. I roll that burden off today.